Dave also got me preaching on the trains. And he discipled me a long time ago. Were you one of the original members of Jubilee? Soon after. I'm so excited that Jubilee is turning 40. Well, this is our 40th year. Give us a wave if you are under 25. Give us a wave. Under 25. Yes. Guys, we've got news for you. You're turning 40. And it's an honor and a privilege to turn 40. And guess what? There's going to be cake. Was I supposed to tell you that? I don't know. But there is going to be cake. In 2 weeks' time, we are having a massive celebration here Friday evening and Sunday. It's going to be so amazing. And the amazing thing about Jubilee, thinking back 40 years, is that Jubilee was started out of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on some men and women in a church in Cape Town, and they started prophesying, as I love what Lex was saying. They received gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit. They felt a sense of the presence of God that didn't just contain them for them. They were ushered out and started preaching the gospel in fresh boldness. And so they realized, hang on, this is what we want. And so they kind of had to make a decision. They left the church because there were some people that felt, no, that's not what we want. They left the church, and that was really the birth of Jubilee Community Church. We weren't called Jubilee. Soon after that, we were called Vineyard, the Vineyard Fellowship. And then years later, Jubilee Community Church. And guess what? We have the same Holy Spirit here. The same Holy Spirit who wants to fill us, who wants to blow on us, who wants to breathe on us. He wants to do new things. He wants to give us dreams. He wants us to prophesy. He wants to speak to us and through us. He wants to prompt us in our hearts. He wants to change us from the inside out. One of our, I guess you could call them parents, Terry and Wendy Virgo, who were friends with and shaped us in those early days, actually before we kind of left that church, Terry and Wendy. And this is what Terry says. Church history hinges on one verse, Acts 1 verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It was this that took fearful, incompetent men and made them into world changers. We're going to jump around a bit in the Word. If you've got your Bibles, you're welcome to kind of go there. But most of the passages are up on the screen. Acts chapter 19 is the first one. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. What an amazing account, hey? Paul asking them, he didn't know them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Finding out a little bit about them, they had been baptized by John, and he said, "No, well, actually, this baptism is what you need. We're following Jesus." And so they were baptized as followers of Jesus. It's unclear as to whether they were disciples, but were they saved? I'm not sure. And literally on the same day, baptized in water and then baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. If you haven't figured out, we are speaking on baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's really the theme of tonight. As followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the Holy Spirit with you. So when you leave here, the Holy Spirit goes with you. Wherever you go tomorrow, the Holy Spirit is with you. And we need the Holy Spirit to baptize us. That's what we need. The Holy Spirit is in us, He's with us, and we need Him to baptize us. The word baptize comes from the Greek word which means to drench or to overwhelm, to immerse, to plunge. It's like being baptized in water. You are immersed in that water. You go down and then you come up. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are immersed in God. Being baptized in the Spirit, or some people refer to it as being filled with the Spirit, is about being overwhelmed with God, being immersed in His power. It's about the Holy Spirit of God empowering you to live as a Christian. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be empowered to live as a Christian? And this is exactly what we see in Acts. The early Christians, filled with power, receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit, new, fresh passion for Jesus, and then boldness to go out and proclaim the good news. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So Jesus promises that He's going to send the advocate. The advocate stands in our place. He defends. But also, what does He call the Holy Spirit? He calls the Holy Spirit the helper. You're not going to ask for a helper if you don't need help. You're not going to do that. But sometimes you need help, but you don't know that you need help. Men are notoriously bad at asking for help. Are they not, ladies? Yes. Sue's been married for quite a long time. She says yes, very definitely. Yes. Is Mike here? No, I'm glad, maybe. We need help. I live with four ladies, and they are constantly reminding me that I should have asked for help. When we are driving somewhere, going on a road trip, and Michelle will say to me, "Do you know where you're going?" That's like an insult. "Yeah, I know where I'm going." "Are you sure you know where you're going?" "Yes, I know where you're going." "Don't you want to look at Google Maps?" "No." 5 minutes later, we're doing a U-turn. And that's why someone, I won't say who, someone from the back will then say, "It's not a road trip if you don't have a U-turn." So we need to come to a place where we admit, "Jesus, I need help. I need the Holy Spirit's help to follow You." What was that? Yes. That Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit is going to do things in us that we can't do on our own, because guess what? We're weak. We are weak. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He has full expectation that we absolutely need the Holy Spirit for all of Christian life. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is not the weird one of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is fully God. He is God. And we can kind of be confused sometimes, and maybe even have sort of misinformation about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. A long time ago, Michelle, my wife, and I were teaching at two different schools, And one of my passions was water polo, and I was coaching water polo. If you've never seen water polo, it's played in a swimming pool. It's kind of a weird sport. It's like soccer. You've got two goals. You use your hands, though, to catch the ball. And there's a lot of shouting. And one day, Michelle came home from school and said to me, guess what? I've been made the water polo manageress. So she was going to kind of be in charge of, I don't know what happened. And then we went on a tour, and her school was playing against the school that I was at. And so Michelle was on the one side of the pool, encouraging her kids, and I was on this side of the pool, encouraging my kids. And then it was half time, and so it was a bit kind of quiet. We were like chatting to the kids. And one of the dads from my school shouted out, how on earth are we going to win if our coach is sleeping with the enemy? And I turned to look at the crowd, and there were some parents of the kids that I was coaching with absolutely shocked faces. Like, they didn't know that I was married to that woman on the other side of the water polo pool. They thought that I was 100% committed to the kids, way more than I was committed to Michelle. And I don't want us to be confused like that about who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God, which means He is good, which means He is kind, He is loving. Yes, He is powerful, but He is compassionate, and He is for you and I. I want you to put your hands up. This won't be difficult for the first group. If you would consider yourself bubbly or outgoing or loud, just give us a little wave. Anyone? There's definitely more of you than that. Okay. The next group might find it a bit more tricky. If you are like quiet, more reserved, just maybe the person next to you needs to put your hand up for you. That was way too quick. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Because just like that is part of your personality, that is part of who you are, the Holy Spirit has also got a personality. The Holy Spirit can do actions. The Holy Spirit can dwell. He can dwell in you. He can dwell among us. A force can't be known, but a person can be known. It might be a bit weird saying, do you know the presence of Yo? Do you know the presence of Yolanda? Yeah. Okay, everyone does. But you would know about Yolanda maybe because you've heard her voice before you've seen her. That's a good thing, yo. It's a good thing. But you in a room, you might hear her, you might hear about her, you might know about her, but do you know her? Do you know what she's feeling? Do you know her struggles? Do you know what she's about and where she's been? And I can ask you the same question about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to know about Him. The Holy Spirit wants you to know Him. The Holy Spirit wants you to feel Him. He wants you to experience Him. He doesn't just want you to hear about Him. Ezekiel 36 says this. This is what God says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's beautiful, isn't it? These are prophets hundreds of years before Jesus, Joel. in Joel chapter 2. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Who is that for? I will pour out my spirit. It's for everyone. It's for you and I. It's for all of us. And then jumping into the New Testament, in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist being asked about who is the one who's coming, who is Jesus, who is the Messiah. He says, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When I was a kid, on the side corner of the bathroom, like behind the bath, there was this sponge. I don't know if you've ever been into a bathroom, or maybe you've got a bathroom that has something that's lying there, like maybe it's an empty bottle of shampoo, that it's been lying there so long that it's just part of the bathroom. Okay, I guess that means you do know, okay? That sponge had been there for like years, and I'd not even noticed it. But one day I picked up the sponge and I put it in water and I felt the sponge, and it was super hard. It wasn't like a normal sponge. And slowly, after being in the water, it slowly started to soften, but it was weird because it softened from the inside. The outside was still like hard, and eventually, from the inside to the outside, it softened. And much later on, thinking back to that just random moment, I realized that that's what the Holy Spirit had done and was still doing, because he continues to work in my heart. From the inside, the Holy Spirit was working slowly, softening my heart, changing me, making the hard parts soft. Maybe there's some of you tonight that you've realized, maybe even the Holy Spirit now is saying to you, actually, I need that. God, I want that. And he's here, and he's able to do that. There was a huge festival with lots and lots of people, and Jesus was there. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, this is a festival where they are emptying massive jugs of water as a sign, a prophetic sign, God, you're going to bring rain for our harvest. And at that festival, they're celebrating the water that God is going to give. And Jesus gets up and he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from within. Now, he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's awesome, hey? Anyone who's thirsty, come to me, come to me. And you can know a spiritual quenching. Every single one of us is thirsty, even if you don't admit it. You're thirsty for something. You're thirsty for meaning. You're thirsty for purpose. Jesus says, you're thirsty? Come to me. I will give you life-giving water. In Acts, this is one of the last things Jesus says to his disciples, Acts 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist says we must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The prophet Joel, Peter, quoting Joel in Acts 2, so does Ezekiel, and so does Jesus. And they say that we need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is what my father promised. That's amazing. My father has promised this for you. This incredible, life-giving baptism of the Holy Spirit was intended for the early church and absolutely for the church going forth in every age until Jesus comes again. And then Acts 2, Pentecost happens, which is another huge festival. There are thousands of people that have come together from all different other kind of provinces, and the people, the followers of Jesus, they gathered together, the disciples, and there were some others, friends, and they gathered together in one place. Suddenly the sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see some people are filled with the Holy Spirit for a specific time to do a specific task. Not here. This is for them all. And then they kind of go out of their room or house where they were, into the streets. There are thousands of people gathered, and Peter, full of the Holy Spirit and new boldness, he stands up and he preaches to thousands of people. And when he's finished preaching the gospel about Jesus, people ask, "What should we do?" And Peter proclaims, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." It's for now. The waiting is finished. We can receive the Holy Spirit now. It's a fulfillment of the great prophetic promise. We don't need to wait. So this is for us. We are right in this verse. It's as if we have been gathered and Peter's jumping up and saying, "You need the Holy Spirit. This is for now." You might ask though, and maybe if you don't ask, it can be a subtle thing, because we so often are ingrained to think like this: "I don't think I deserve this. I don't think, am I worthy? Do I really deserve to get this?" Now, if I woke up on my birthday, and maybe it's a bad thing to like expect a birthday present, but I would expect a birthday present. And so I wake up and I go into the kitchen, and there the rest of the family are sitting and they all wish me happy birthday. And then Michelle says, "Can you make me a cup of coffee, please?" And then I make her a cup of coffee. And then I give her the coffee and she says, "Babe, don't you want to just quickly do the dishes?" I'll be like, "Yeah, okay." I'll probably delegate it to one of the girls. But let's say I did the dishes, and then she says to me, "Don't you want to just sweep the kitchen? It's a bit dusty." I'll be like, "This present is not a gift anymore. I have to earn this present." But that is absolutely not the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. But it's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father, because He loves us. The only requirement is you belonging to Jesus. You belonging to Jesus. Jesus asks, "Is anyone thirsty?" That's all you need. That's all you need. He doesn't say, "Is anyone holy? Is anyone quite impressive? Is anyone special?" You just have to be thirsty. So what does the Holy Spirit do? We're nearly finished. What does the Holy Spirit do? One of the roles of the Spirit is to change us to become more like Jesus, to transform us. The Holy Spirit is power. And sometimes the inward power of the Holy Spirit is expressed in an outward manner. So you might have seen this, or you might see it this evening, when someone is receiving from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it is great to put your hands out as a sign of, I'm receiving, I'm giving myself to you, Holy Spirit. It would not be uncommon to hear someone speaking in a heavenly language, to be speaking in tongues, a language that you probably will not understand. That's an outward expression. Someone might shake. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working within them, but you seeing that working outward. Someone might start crying. I know guys, when particularly if a lady starts crying, you immediately want to know, why are you crying? But it's okay. There are lots of different reasons for people to cry. Sometimes people could be overwhelmed with what Jesus has done. Sometimes people could be amazed that I have done these things that Jesus has forgiven. Maybe some people will laugh. Maybe God is putting a new joy. Maybe we don't understand why we're laughing. It's an outward expression. Some people might even fall over under the power, under the weight of the presence of the Holy Spirit. What I want us to notice is that we are more aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside than we are of what He's doing on the outside. What He's doing on the outside, whether someone just stands or whether someone falls down, is not really significant. What is significant is that the Holy Spirit is working inside. He gives us sometimes a deeper longing and desire and passion for Jesus. He refreshes us. He overwhelms us with His love. He gives us a fresh awareness of how Jesus has washed our sin away. He gives us a deeper passion for our friends who don't know Jesus, a deeper desire and passion for His love and His presence. He helps us sometimes to see visions in our mind, that we would see a picture that normally we wouldn't be seeing, that the Holy Spirit is giving us, a picture of something. Maybe He's increasing our faith. Sometimes it's a peace. Sometimes we can be so full of anxiety and worry. The Holy Spirit just wants to wash us with His peace. Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's a deeper trust in Him. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is about power and presence. It's about experiencing the immediacy of God's love in a tangible way. God desires us to know Him in a felt way, not just about Him. And we're going to finish with this little bit on gifts. Jesus says in Matthew 7, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm just going to mention a few of them. We've mentioned the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is a gift of the Spirit. It's a language, it's a heavenly language that we speak that we don't understand. It's not God speaking, it's us speaking. So we move our tongue and our mouths, and then the Holy Spirit gives us this new language that, in a sense, comes from within. The Bible says that the gift of tongues edifies us, which means it builds us up. It strengthens us. Sometimes, and I'm sure all of us sometimes are praying, and we can kind of run out of stuff to say, and then we can pray in tongues, and we can feel, wow, I know the Holy Spirit is here with me. The gift of prophecy is literally God speaking through us. And that can come in different forms. So it could be a picture, or it could be what we might describe as a now word of God. I feel like God is wanting to emphasize this. It is God speaking to us for the lifting up, the edifying of the church. And then what about healing? That's a gift of the Spirit. We want to pray more and more for healing. It's true, probably not everyone will get healed, but some can get healed. And over the course of 40 years at Jubilee, we have seen people getting healed, the gift of the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? It's God giving His gift by the Holy Spirit. But we can step out in faith and pray for one another. These gifts are to be eagerly desired, Paul says, so we can come in and you yourself can ask God for these gifts. That's a good thing. You can ask Him for them. I want to just finish by reading parts of this song, which is called Living Water. Dry bones right now. Breathe in, breathe out. No more drinking the dirt. I'm thirsty. Oh, Spirit of resurrection flowing through me. You've made me a new creation. How can it be? Yeah, living water deep within me. Saturate my soul like a river. Break the levee. Let it overflow. I could never have too much of your love. Your love, oh, living water deep within me. Saturate my soul. Holy Spirit, Holy Presence, you have changed the atmosphere here in my chest. Holy wellspring, what's in store? I am longing for more. Let's long for more. Let's long for more. Let's long for more of the Holy Spirit. He's here. He desires to fill us. Whether you've been full before, baptized in the Spirit before, you can come for a fresh filling. He's right here. Or maybe for the first time, you want more of the Holy Spirit. You can receive. I'm going to pray for us and then hand back over to the band. Maybe you want to just put your hands out where you're sitting as an indication of yes. Yes, Holy Spirit, I want you. Come, Holy Spirit. We echo that song. Yes, we have a longing for more of you. Come, river, break the levee, break it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wash us afresh. Come, change us from the inside out. Come, Holy Spirit, flow from within us. Lord Jesus, we say, like Jesus said, anyone who's thirsty, Lord, we say we're thirsty for more of you. We're thirsty for more of you, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us, come and refresh us, come and baptize us in your Holy Spirit. Come and give us gifts, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that all through the Bible, you have been present and you are present right now, Holy Spirit. We drink in of you. Can I invite you to stand?